Gene Wilder.
I'm deaf.
Repeat, deaf.
Richard Pryor.
I'm blind.
Repeat, blind.
Together again.
8 for 12 o'clock, 8 for 12.
We can hang out like this more often.
In trouble again.
Wally, there's a gun here.
Hey! Get rid of it!
Between the two of you, you saw and you heard everything.
He reads lips. You're talking too fast.
Was there or wasn't there a woman?
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a woman?
On the run again.
I think we should kill them.
Don't guide me. They're looking for a blind guy and a deaf guy. Stamp your feet. I'll follow the sound.
I feel ridiculous.
You look fine to me.
Huh? Yeah.
Who the hell was driving?
I think it's the blind guy.
Right.
Richard Pryor.
You mean I'm not white? It feels like it.
And Gene Wilder.
Do you really think you can stop Comey?
Not if it's funny.
A good comedy, as you call it, is worth its weight in gold.
Are back.
I don't know what you're looking for, but it's a little to the right.
See no evil, hear no evil.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Film Reel Cast for another episode. And I'm pleased to say this week, as usual, I'm joined by Neil and Paul. Neil and Paul, how are you?
Oh, very well, Stu. Good to be back.
Yes. Good to have you.
Great, mate. Absolutely great.
Fantastic. And we're back again, and we're staying in, no surprise whatsoever, we're staying in the 80s. Just about, we're doing See No Hear No Evil. And this has just popped up on Netflix, and it's a film close to my heart. I've seen it many a times, watching it with my folks. It's absolutely brilliant. It's one of the most quotable films going, and it's just brilliant. And I love it. It's going to be scored very highly. I'll put the cards on the table already.
Yeah.
What's your kind of history with this film, guys? Have you seen it before? Was it one of your favourites, or what was it? Tell me.
Neil? I saw it a long time ago, and I loved it. I don't think you can not enjoy this film, to be fair. But I hadn't seen it in so long. I watched it yesterday in preparation for this, and it was like watching a new film all over again. It was fucking brilliant, I have to be honest. I'm going to put my cards on the table as well. I was laughing constantly.
Yeah.
Same here. I grew up with it. Was it 86 or 88?
89.
Yeah. So it was just like you, Neil, Stu, saw it when it came out, and like whenever it pops up on TV now and again, and having, you know, rewatching it again. Normally Stir Crazy is the one that comes on, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't often see this one. And this came on, and as you said, Neil, it was a laugh a minute. And from the start to the end, I was laughing out loud.
Yeah, and these two are just a really unlikely pair in a lot of ways. That Richard Pryor's obviously background from stand-up, he's very close to the mark, and he upsets a lot of people. He's got drug habits and the different things that he set himself on fire, a crack pipe and everything like that. And he's really outgoing in interviews, where you've got Gene Wilder, who is very kind of, he's a bit of a recluse, and he's not a funny guy. And people, when they interview him, they often struggle because that they expect him to be funny. And even he says that people expect me just to be cracking one line. It's a bit like Robin Williams, but he isn't like that. It's really strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very different from the characters he portrays on screen, isn't he?
I was trying to work it out between these two, like, about the straight man and funny man, you know, because you get a straight guy and the funny guy. And Richard Pryor is evidently the funny guy. But even Gene Wilder, he's got so many cracking comedic lines in there. You can't really kind of just categorise it between the two of them.
No, not at all. And I mean, out of this film, obviously Stir Crazy, and they got Silver Streak, which they did. I think Silver Streak was the first one they did together. And there's some really good, very, very funny interviews I was watching when they were promoting this film. And they seem to obviously get on really well. I mean, out of all the films, if you've seen them, I know it's hard if you haven't seen them all kind of for a while, but where would you rate these films, like the ones they did together, Silver Streak and Stir Crazy, and obviously this film?
Well, I have to admit, I don't think I've seen Silver Streak, Stu.
Oh, really?
I don't, but now you've said it, that's right on top of my list. I think this is, for me, Stir Crazy is probably above this one.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Great scenes in that, but this is a class film.
Yeah, what about yourself, Neil?
I'd have to watch them again, mate. And it's like I say, it's been such a long time since... Because normally these things would pop up on TV, but they haven't been on TV for a long time either, have they?
No.
To be honest. And so, yeah, I love this one. I'd have to watch them, like Paul. And maybe we should.
Should we do Stir Crazy? Because that's also on Netflix, isn't it? Should we do Stir Crazy maybe in a week or so's time? A couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, I'd have to speak to Rav, because I know Rav's keen on doing... kind of the, what is it, the anime for September.
Yeah.
Okay. Which we've got down. We've got planned already with Secret of My Success and I think Space Sweeper as well. But definitely.
I'll be there for a while.
I really enjoyed this.
Be on for a while.
Yeah. Stir Crazy is really just a brilliant film. And Silver Streak is just, again, these two are brilliant together. You just... laugh because the jokes are stupid, and I love harmless stupid humor, you know.
Yeah,
and they're just so lovely. But the cast in this is a really good cast as well. You've got Joan Severance, who plays Eve, who's the other assassin who's after them, who's and she's absolutely stunning. She's a model, she's a singer,
unbelievable. Yeah,
just top draw. It's also got Kevin Spacey in it, who, as we know, has probably had a checkered career, but we're not going to talk about that. I like Kevin Spacey. For me, he's a draw. He's a really good actor, and he's been in like 7, K-Pac, House of Cards, and he's someone who I will watch a film or a series if he's in. I don't know what your thoughts are, guys.
Yeah, I like Kevin Spacey. Like you say, 7, he was absolutely brilliant in that. But I found him quite odd in this. He just, maybe it's because he was playing the English guy, but and maybe that was the point he was playing on it. But it's... I found I was laughing at his acting more than his sort of script, if you like, at certain points of this film, because it seemed quite awkward.
Do you know, now you say it, I didn't even realise he was playing an English guy.
Yeah, he was playing English, And it was, you're right, Neil, it was odd, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I'm glad you noticed it as well. I watched him in Superman Returns, and I thought he made a really good Lex Luthor. It's super. It was a dreadful film, but he made a really good Luthor.
Good. That's so weird. I've never even realised it was English accent. Obviously her, because her English accent is amazing, is incredibly sexy. But him, I didn't know. That's so bizarre.
I think they're both English. He's definitely the English. He's playing an English guy, but it just didn't quite work.
It almost made him a bit wooden, didn't it?
It did. It's so odd. It was just you could see that he was really trying and. But the accent just made it comical. But maybe they went for that because he did the English accent. They thought, just run with it because it's probably going to get a laugh a minute anyway.
Oh, you know what? It didn't matter, did it? Because like you're waiting for Richard Pryor invariably to come off the back of what he's saying. You know,
No, I think it's really good in this that when they were actually doing it. That initially Pryor signed up for it and he was game on to do it, and they really wanted because of Silver Streak and everything and their kind of success previously, they wanted God, I can't remember his bloody name now. God, that's terrible, isn't it?
That's they wanted, great length, Stu. I like that.
Yeah, they wanted
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, they wanted Gene Wilder. Yeah, they wanted Gene Wilder. He didn't want to do it because he thought it would be insulting deaf people, and he turned it down. So he spent a long time with deaf people and working with them and their mannerisms, and Richard Pryor did with blind people, which is absolutely incredible. And I think more so because it's kind of more visual for you, but Richard Pryor plays such a good blind person. And it's great because even Joan Severance, when she's being interviewed, said that she found it really strange sometimes when working with him that she forgot that he could actually see because he did this so well. And it's just incredible. But it's highlighted by one of the lines in this. And I think it's absolutely brilliant when he says he's deaf, not stupid.
Yeah.
Which is so good.
That was the cop, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it just shows that these people have got disabilities. It doesn't make them stupid. They can function in everyday life. And I think that was one of the things that Gene Wilder really wanted to highlight, and they've both done it well. And I think through comedy, you can do it even better, can't you?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I suppose it is a risk, though, isn't it? Playing a blind person or a deaf or anyone with a disability like that and trying to turn it into a comedy, because the comedy is all around the fact that that's their two conditions and they bounce off each other and stuff. It is quite a risky thing to do. As well, I suppose maybe not in the 80s, but if you were to try and do that now, I bet people would be extremely against the idea.
Oh, up in arms, mate.
Very well. Yeah. But I'm glad they did, if you see.
I was thinking, actually, it's funny you said that now, because I was thinking about, after watching that film, I thought, I wonder if they could make that film now. Not because of the deaf and blind business, but just because comedy has changed, hasn't it? You know, movie comedy and, you know, we are treated like imbeciles when it comes to understanding the script and the concept of the film. And that film, you look back at it, and it's like Only Fools and Horses, you know, for the UK audience. It's class comedy. They'll never repeat it. It's funny as hell. And that's 89, brilliant. You know, that they it was so funny. But could they make it now and sell it? I don't think they could.
No, I don't think they could. I think people are far too sensitive these days to be able to do that. And I think one of the problems they do have is that if you did this again, I honestly think that they'd want a blind person to play the blind role, a deaf person to play the deaf role, because there's so many complaints of when you get like heterosexual people playing homosexual roles, and they're saying that homosexual people can act and can play those roles, and it's a very, and I understand that point of view. So I think where back in the 80s, it was very simple, and some of the things they did weren't right. But I think that you could get away with this as comedy, and people were a lot more understanding and took it as a comedy, where people just are so fucking touchy now that you can't do that. It's a joke now. It's so pathetic.
Yeah, I think there's an element, you know, that's right in a sense. But I think if you've got, you know, it comes down to who's best skilled for it. You know, if you've got a fantastic comedian like Richard Pryor playing that part, then yeah, get him in the part. But
Then why can't you have a blind person who's an actor play it?
I know what you're saying, Stuart. I agree.
It's not acting then, is it?
If you're not Richard Pryor, if you don't have those skills, you're not going to sell the film. You're not going to make the money, are you? So
I think James might have come into our lovely podcast.
I have. Sorry about the lateness.
Hello, James. Nice surprise.
Buddy. It was a surprise, that is.
Sorry. Oh, it's noises back again. Well and truly got James.
That noise is
not
at the same time.
Paul, is that you?
Is that
you making that noise?
What noise?
Are you getting more fucking sweets out of a pot, are you?
Are you behind me or something?
Fuck me. It's like having Nim back on the podcast.
Mate, I just
have to say that.
Can we?
This is an audio podcast, which means people listen. And you used to work in radio. That's the shocking thing about it.
I know.
No wonder Keith Chegwin took your place, you know what I mean?
Keith Chegwin, what happened to Orville? No, that was Keith.
Keith Harris.
Keith Harris, yeah. I was going through some old photographs of, in fact, I might put a photograph of me up on my WhatsApp, of me back in my old studio, because I was, as you know, a radio presenter for many years. But you're right. No chewing, no eating, no drinking, no swearing, no nothing. And like, look at me now. I'm like a shadow of my former self. Anyway, James, welcome, mate. We've not started the film yet.
I'm sure you have. I heard you talking about Richard. Was it Richard Pryor?
We've not started the content.
Oh, you've not started yet. Oh, that's good timing.
Yeah, baby.
Exactly. So,
Jesus Christ.
Let me get this right.
Powers,
yeah.
For fuck's sake.
We agreed for the podcast at 8:30. My bad. I'm an amateur. So I came in 25 minutes late, and you haven't started to review the film. I'm just getting that out of there.
No. Yeah. We've talked about the people in the film, but not the film.
Lord.
Bloody hell.
You've got a lot of editing to do.
I really, really have. So, James, what do you think of these people with disabilities? Do you think we were talking about Richard Pryor and that? That other people could play their part who actually have got the disabilities, and could this be done today? What do you think about that? You think it could be redone with what, actors or
actors? Actors. He has to. I mean, you know, he's. I'm not. It's going to sound horrible. He's paid to act. He has to act like a blind person. He's doing a good job. So, are you suggesting that that a blind person has to play him then?
No, I'm just talking about the society these days. As in, people would then be up in arms that you do get blind people who are actors, deaf people who are actors, and why can't you have someone who is blind playing a blind person
If they're going to be as funny as Richard Pryor, all for it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You get the best actor for the role. And if you have a legitimate, amazing, blind comedian that you think will fit, I've got no problems there, but you get the best person for the role. And also, an actor, you could make an argument that it's harder for them to act blind than a blind person there. And if they've convinced you they're blind in the film, and I think Richard Pryor, albeit it is a comedy, I thought at points he did quite a good job.
I thought he was amazing. I thought he was absolutely incredible. Yeah. But it was just the jokes.
I know what you mean.
I mean, at the race course, they're all looking one way. He's got binoculars again, and he's looking the other way. But to me, to us, it's a comedy. It's a joke, and it's stupid. And
but at the start.
Go for it.
I was going to say, you know, going back to the start of the film, just like watching, he comes up from the subway, and Gene Wilder's already upset a driver because he just stood in traffic, and he starts shouting at the driver, and Richard Pryor comes up from the subway and thinks he's assaulting him.
Watch your step.
You're a dumb idiot.
You're talking to me?
You are a dumb idiot.
You're talking to me, asshole.
Wally, don't start anything. Who are you talking to?
The man's got something to say. Let him say it.
Of yours.
Oh, I heard that song before, pal. Now listen, dickhead, you got anything to get off your chest?
Will you tell me who you're talking to?
No, say one more word. Just one more fucking word. Come on.
You dumb asshole.
Hey, nice move.
Come on. You don't show me shit.
Are you fighting this time? Wally.
Come on.
Wally, stop it. Stop it. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
From the start, I was laughing out loud because he's like, come on, you fucker. You know, brilliant.
It is great because, as you say, it's just visually and it's harmless. It's just harmless and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, in a way, obviously, kind of spoiler alert, it's especially Richard Pryor characters, it's accepting of his disability, isn't he? So he doesn't want to accept he's blind really at the beginning, even though he is. And it's his blindness that wins out at the end to really help get the bad guy in one of the final scenes with him and like the main bad guy. And it's his blindness and his disability that helps. So he does kind of go on a journey of that acceptance there, if you want to look at it at a slightly deeper level, which is quite interesting.
No, you're right, he does. Yeah, he's not accepting at all, really, at the start of it. And he even makes that comment about that he doesn't realise he's black.
Oh, yeah.
On the tube. Yeah, he's on the tube, isn't he?
My dad?
His sister.
Does dad know?
No.
Why do you feel you have to pass for someone with 20/20 vision when you're blind as a bat?
I don't feel I have to pass.
Yes, you do. It's a sickness in your brain, just like if you were trying to pass for white.
You mean I'm not white?
Oh,
this is a scandal. What do you mean I'm not white? Why didn't you tell me this before? You're my own sister.
Damn, Wally.
Goodness gracious, do you know a lot of adjustments have to be made? I have to cancel the swimming lessons. What are the guys at the club going to say? I'm not white. Oh, it feels like it. Goodness gracious, that's your right.
Lord, help me.
Does Dad know?
This is brilliant.
He touches his hair and realizes he's got an afro. He's like,
they thought of everything, didn't they? They really thought of everything.
They really did.
And it's good because they don't meet up. And it's only because Wilder works in this shop in, I think it's like this hotel or this kind of
a foyer, isn't it?
Foyer, that's it. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And then Richard Pryor gets a job in there. And it's just brilliant. You've got them two, one that you have to look at in the face to communicate with, and the other one, he's blind. There's just no hope, is there? These two are brilliant.
No.
It's
funny.
He's asking for the job.
It's just genius. Richard Pryor keeps knocking things off the fucking counter, doesn't he? Yeah. So Gene Wilder's down there picking them up, and whilst he's picking them up, Richard Pryor's talking and asking him questions, and he's like, "Come on, you're a thing." It's fucking brilliant.
It is. It just flows so good, and it's just, again, there's no real like swearing. There's no nudity. There's just no violence. It's just stupid humour, and it works.
Yeah,
it's just great. But so after a bit of a kind of a disaster of actually getting to speak to each other, they do get the job, and really it's due to Richard Pryor, who owes money to his bookie, because we found out already that he's a terrible bloody gambler.
Yeah.
That he gets a job, which leads to when they meet after work, and they're talking about Harvey Wallbangers, and they go to that bar. And again, it's just one setup for another brilliant scene, isn't it? But
fabulous.
They're there, and Pryor comes in. Pryor's there drinking. Gene Wilder comes in. And they meet up, and they bump into some guy. And it's Richard Pryor's denial of having his ability, or disability, sorry. But, and the way he helps him box and fight that guy, jumping around, it's stupid as hell, but it's brilliant to watch. Yeah.
He's coming. I'm going to give you the first hit. Now, come on. He's coming. Give you He's coming, Wally.
Come on.
A little lower.
He's shorter than you. A couple inches shorter than you.
Ah, 8 for 12 o'clock. 8 for 12. Get it. 8 for 12. Oh, all right. Okay. Let's go.
All right. 11 o'clock.
Circle right. And left. Circle left. And right.
Hey,
come out. Right.
Circle left. Circle left.
Circle left.
Stand still, huh?
Ready. 1 o'clock. Good. 12.
5 to 3. And that's a nice little foreshadow for later on, isn't it, when they're dealing with Kevin Spacey's character.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's just so good because you know it's nonsense. You know it would never happen as well, that a blind guy punching the guy just walking into every single punch.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable. But they end up in a bit of a roll around, which is obviously way over the top. And then straight from there, there's a really nice scene. And I love the dialogue when they're sitting on the bench and they're talking about their disabilities, and that he is just so serious and that you can function. And they've got different philosophies on their disabilities, haven't they? Which is nice.
No, it's a lovely scene, isn't it? In the sense that Gene Wilder clearly can't accept the fact that he's deaf and doesn't want to. And obviously, Richard Pryor's just accepted it. He's just like, it is what it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. And it's fantastic. What I loved most about this scene is if you watch Richard Pryor's ice cream, it changes sizes throughout the scene.
It goes bit small.
It must have been so many takes they've done this in, because it's just looked back and it's like, oh, this was reformed.
I didn't even notice that.
Probably because they spent most of the time pissing around.
Probably. I looked at it, I was like, fucking hell, his ice cream's growing back. How's he done that?
It's lovely because when he sticks the ice cream on his head and says, "Look, no one gives a shit about what you look like."
Yeah.
And the smile, it just all seems so genuine, that laughter and the friendship. I don't know, they're either amazing actors or it just, they're clearly friends off camera, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just so good. Yeah. And again, the scene when the guy comes in looking for Richard Pryor and he's got that gold coin. And that he asks for some tablets, and it's because Gene Wilder's looking for the tablets with his back, but clearly he can't hear what's going on behind him. And that's when we kind of first see just how bad Joan Severance is, who plays Eve, and Kevin Spacey, who plays Kurgo, which is some weird name. I do not know where that name comes from. But shoots the guy, and that Gene Wilder, obviously being deaf, just does not know he's been shot and carries on talking.
Oh, it's fantastic. He's just talking, reading that pack out, isn't he? Like an absolute numpty. And he turns around because, oh, it's just brilliant. And he walks in, doesn't he? And he's talking to each other. And then Gene Wilder turns away, doesn't he? And Richard Pryor falls over the body.
Yeah.
And he turns back around and he's not there anymore. It's just stupid, but brilliant. It's so funny.
Do you know what it reminds me of kind of Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer kind of TV, you know, just stupid comedy that just you get belly laughs from, just because it's just an escape from normality. And like, it's not just general humour, it's just stupid. And it's just guys being idiots, you know, it's brilliant.
I can't think of any stupid humour like this on TV at the moment. I don't know whether you three can. I can't really.
No.
No, I have to be honest, I've given up on comedy these days because it's just, I don't find it funny anymore, particularly.
Yeah,
I find it awkward and a bit forced, whereas this is just actual genius.
Yeah, a lot of the awkwardness was like, you like Post Office kind of awkwardness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like The Office, but like you say, there's just nothing on, there's nothing really. No.
Yeah. They force like crudity down your throat, don't they, for the sake of laughs. I mean, I don't know. What about yourself, James? Can you think of anything at the moment which is just as good as this?
Well, it's a film, a new film they've done.
Or kind of like this. I love the stupid, harmless humour of this. A bit like Friday Night, Friday Night Dinner. That it's just stupid humour. But I can't think of anything now that is this. Like
grown men being idiots.
No, I think the most recent one we did, I think we reviewed it, was the but it's not that recent really, about the election.
The campaign.
Yes, I thought that was really funny. I really enjoyed that, and that was a bit silly. Completely into this.
But yeah, that was stupid humour. Yeah, you're right.
I haven't seen that.
But I thought that was still quite good, and that wasn't, no, but you're right. The good thing about this is it's not that stupid, scary movie humour where you can kind of, it's one and done. You watch it, it might be funny, you might find it hilarious, but watching it again, you don't laugh at the jokes. Where here, you can watch it multiple times and still laugh at that same joke, you know?
Yeah, like Only Fools.
Definitely.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right, there's nothing like that today. But is it because in this society we're in today, where I think a lot of humour, you kind of have to potentially risk offending someone, because sometimes it involves laughing at someone. And I think our directors and scriptwriters too scared today because of of being cancelled or anything like that. Has the cancel culture put an end to this kind of humour?
Coming from having spent a load of years in the BBC, like, you get an editorial policy book, and I've not seen it recently, but it's likely that there's things in there about what you can and what you can't do when it comes to editorial decisions. I imagine that things have been stamped on and kicked into the long grass.
It's a shame. It really is, isn't it? Because there's so much out there that you can do, but I suppose the society these days, just you stand at risk of being cancelled, don't you, to be honest? Cancelled, sued, both. It's really, really sad how sensitive. But it's quite funny because the guy gets shot right outside the front of a massive office. There's loads of people walking past, and yet not one person. I don't know how prevalent CCTV was, but not one person saw the woman standing there with the gun and leaving with Kevin Spacey, you know? It's a bit nonsense, but it's New York. New York. But yeah, so the police come in, amazing time by the police. How quick are they? Their response times are absolutely incredible. It's seconds. It really is. And conveniently, they're both standing over the dead body, literally with a smoking gun. It doesn't get much easier for them.
No, it's just brilliant, isn't it? Because Gene's got it in his hand. And she, yeah. It's like, has someone been shot? Yeah. Are you holding the gun?
Get rid of it.
It's just,
and it's great. And again, as this does, it kind of builds up to another kind of very situational comedy. And when they're in the police station, it is brilliant. Their questioning is superb.
Oh! All right, now we're going to quit fucking around here and start talking serious. Now, you claim there was a woman present? Was there a woman present? Was there a woman present?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're talking to me?
You bet your ass I'm talking to you. Was there or wasn't there?
Was there or wasn't there what?
A woman present.
I smelled a woman, but I didn't see a woman.
What about you, wise ass? Was there or wasn't there a woman? What the hell do I have to do? Take you downstairs to a private room and ask you? Huh?
He's deaf. You have to be facing him.
All right, no more bullshit. Was there or wasn't there a woman?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm goddamn serious.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a woman?
What the hell is he talking about?
He reads lips. You're talking too fast.
Was there a woman present?
Yes, there was. A woman present.
Why is he talking like that?
Because he's deaf, not stupid.
It's so good. Yeah.
And they do it with a straight face.
They do. And it's right, isn't it? Like you said earlier, the fact that he's talks and really slow and stupid like,
yeah,
and he answers him back and he goes, you know, why is he talking like that? Because he's not stupid. I thought that was absolutely fantastic, raising a very good point even back in 1989.
Absolutely. And then they come in, you've got Spacey and the lovely Eve come in, who acts as their solicitors, and they instantly, due to, and I never know when the kind of, and it's brought up in comedies and stuff like that, when you've got, I can't remember what film it was now, what series, that because someone was blind, that they believe, that their friends were asking, have you got a special ability? That can you hear things like a pin drop because you've lacked one sense? And in this, you've got, he can see her legs and he recognizes them from the shooting. Mm. And then you've got Pryor, who can smell her perfume and recognizes that Shalimar perfume. So, and they instantly know that they're the killers. But, well, I know that she is. They don't really know about Spacey yet, do they? So they set up in a very comedic escape, which is forgivable for how pathetic it is that they can escape by squirting water in the faces and the crutches of the police officers.
Oh, no. But I have to say, before that, when the policewoman's trying to take their photographs.
Oh, God,
oh, yeah. What a scene that was.
That's one of the best scenes in the whole film.
Oh, I remember
it was, yes.
All right, Mr. Lyons, I need a nice full face shot first, and we'll get our side shots later. Face front, please.
He was the only one to give me credit. Now face front.
Will you tell him to hold still, please?
What? Hold still.
What's he doing?
Holding still.
Not looking at you, looking at me. That's perfect. Tell him not to move.
What? Don't move. I'm getting fed up with her.
Why is he doing this to me? I just want him to face the camera.
He's not facing the camera?
No!
It's news to me.
What?
Face the camera.
That's better. Hold it.
She should make up her mind.
Shit!
Is she saying shit or ship?
Shit.
I agree with you, Jay, honestly.
Honestly, the fact that he turns up, tell him to stand still. He gets him to look at him, don't move.
And he's getting annoyed with his makeup and mind. Yeah.
She's on the verge of getting welfare assistance at work, isn't she?
Yeah.
So well done.
I was in bits. It was so good.
And how hard is it to take the photographs? And just can't do it.
But again, like going back to what you were saying earlier about, like, could they redo this? I think it's such a long, prolonged. It's such a prolonged shot. Is it a prolonged scene? I think people would just, you know, the producers now, the directors now would just think that it's just too long to get people's attention. But it needs it to be that long, just to really build it up to her breakdown. Yeah. You know,
completely.
Yeah. It'd probably moan about welfare issues and crap like that, but it is just so good. Just as about to nail that picture, she says, "Right, tell him to look." She taps him, and he looks away again. And yeah, I agree with you, Jay. It's one of the best.
It is,
in the film, because how they can make this so funny as they do, it is brilliant. It really is, and it's purely their expressions that do it.
It is how straight faced they are, and like you said, the fact that he is set at the end, because I wish she'd make up her mind. It's just absolute genius. But there you go.
But yeah, so they do escape, and again they escape when there's a massive protest outside about Iran, and there's a camera crew just doing interviews of people, and she talks about some guy called Comedy, and he says, "Well, everyone likes a good comedy." The look on her face is just being really puzzled. It's brilliant. Comedy, great, honestly. It's so good. And obviously, how can the police officers, and he's worried about his reputation, if colleagues find out we've lost a blind man and a deaf man at exactly the same time, it's going to be a cake offence.
Cake offence.
It's going to be so good. But they make it away and make it out of the police station. And their concern is that people are obviously looking for a blind person, a deaf person. You need to act normal. Whatever normal is in this film, I don't know. So they come up with it that if Gene Wilder stamps on the floor when he walks, try and be able to work out where he is.
Who was that?
Ridiculous.
It was so good. It was so good.
But they're not frightened. They can do stupid with a straight face. And
I bet they can't. I bet it took them fucking amazing amount of scenes to get that right, because they were just pissing themselves. I'd love to have been there. Because these guys they're so funny themselves, aren't they? Just
But and they don't take themselves serious, which is great.
I bet it took them a while to get that scene nailed.
It's so good. It's brilliant. I mean, to stamp, I don't know whose ideas, I don't know how much they had lived when they did this. I don't know what you think, Jay, but I would have thought they would have just made this up on the hop as they went along.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it, how much how much of it was ad-libbed or not. I'm sure a lot of it was, because I think both of them are very talented at what they do. But as Stuart, and as Paul was saying, it would have been so interesting to see what a blast they had. I'd like to think this was a really fun movie to make backstage.
Especially
with Gene, with Richard Pryor's stand up. I bet he did a lot of ad lib and was probably making ridiculous amounts of jokes.
Oh, definitely.
And having everyone creasing up. So,
have you guys ever seen him on stand up? On YouTube? He's amazing, isn't he?
He's brutal.
He's close to the bone, isn't he?
he's fucking gnawing on the bone, mate.
But even his tame stuff's good. Even his tame stuff is just out of this world. But yeah, I know what you're saying about gnawing my bone. Yeah, you're right, he does. But worth a watch.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Dave, obviously, the luck would have it that when you've got Eve and Kurgo, Spacey and Severance, in the car, and they're trying to sort out their escape to get them out of prison, and they walk past them doing their stupid walk. And that's when they actually find out they've got the coin on them, and Pryor didn't even know he had the coin on them, but he doesn't know the value of it, and he was telling the truth the whole time. And they speak to the head boss about trying to escape, And it's interesting because the actual boss who's overseeing everything isn't anyone special. And for a long time, they don't show his face, do they?
No.
And it's really strange.
It is odd. Yeah. It's almost James Bond-esque, I found.
Yeah. Do you think, obviously, spoiler alert, because we're going to spoil this anyway, but do you think that's because they didn't want to give away that he's blind? And that was the only reason why they showed him from the back?
Yeah, that's exactly why, mate. Yeah.
A bit of both, I think. I think they were trying to have that sort of bad guy vibe where you don't see who it is. And obviously, he's blind. So they couldn't give it away because it was quite a big scene, wasn't it, between the two of them, between Richard Pryor and him.
Yes, yeah. And they're going to be executed. And I really like that any final request, and he says, scratch my nose, and she kisses him, and then Pryor just comes out with it, doesn't he?
Would you scratch my nose for me? You're a very thick woman.
Thank you. Mr. Carew, what would you like?
I suppose the fuck is out of the question.
That was a laugh aloud. But it's his delivery. It's not. It's just, how he delivers it is just fucking brilliant.
Because that's what you'd say, isn't it? You're in that situation. You're going to die anyway. What have you got to lose?
What have you got to lose?
Exactly. Yeah.
So good. And then they do that boxing again. We ask what the time is. And obviously, Space has got a bloody jaw made of glass. And they do that. They escape in a police car. And I love this in the 80s of the screen behind the back window. And then they've got the steering wheel and they're shaking it around everywhere, but driving in a straight line. It's just brilliant. It's so good.
This bit really annoyed me because, and it'll probably feature later on in the discussion, but when you saw all the shots of the car, God knows who was in charge of props, but whoever picked up Gene Wilder's wig, it must have been for like a wig mart or something, because that was not Gene Wilder's hair. If you look at it, it was just dreadful.
Yeah, you can see when they drive into the meet, like, first of all, that the guy isn't Richard Pryor. And it kind of looked at the camera as if, like, am I on camera? And he's got, like, a bit of a troubled look on his face. But that's what was so good. There's so many films. I think when we did Raw Deal, we said the same thing about Raw Deal, didn't we?
We did, yeah. You can just... Yeah. There just wasn't that attention to detail back then, though, was there?
And Lethal
Let's
Weapon.
Get the shot. Yeah.
Lethal Weapon, yes. There were
so many. When you looked at it, you thought, oh my God, that so isn't. But it's a really entertaining chase. And it's just over the top that the blind person is driving. And I'm glad they've got that screen behind them and they didn't actually do that, because it's just bloody terrible. But they do get away. And this is the first time they actually fall out, when they go and dump the car. And it kind of follows the fact that Pryor says to Gene Wilder, are you really deaf? What if someone shouts in your ear?
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Yeah. And then he just pretends he can hear it, obviously he can't, but it's such a good scene. And you can imagine that how many times someone has done this to him and asked this question. No wonder he reacts so angry over the top.
Definitely. Yeah, it's brilliant. Because I would imagine any one of us would probably do exactly the fucking same, wouldn't you? Just piss off.
Yeah.
Deaf. I can't fucking hear you. Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And you get the introduction of Richard Pryor. Is it Richard Pryor's, is it his sister?
Yeah.
Who plays Leslie?
Yeah.
And she's in it. And it's great because they believe that they're at a hotel holding up there. So all of the police and the SWAT and everyone goes out these hotels. It's like typical American, with several different rooms in one long strip. And whilst the police are outside, various like tenants are coming out, and some of them are all saying different dodgy things. Like, I thought she was 18. And
oh yeah. Yeah. It's blatantly a place where you go to have sex with the person that you pay to do that with. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just so funny. Again, the police officers are made to look like complete chumps, aren't they? Which is something that was done so well in the 80s for all of these films. But what do you think of the sister? Do you think she's good? Do you think she's annoying or could have done more?
I think she was all right. I think she was all right. For the type of acting in this film, for most of the people in it other than the main two, I think she held her own. I think she was all right.
Yeah, oh, I completely agree. I didn't know whether anyone had a problem. About you and Paul and Jay, what do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I think what she does is she kind of like grounds it. She normalises it. Because I think had she been a comedy character to the extent of the other two, you could argue maybe that would have been too much. But because she's there and she grounds the other two, I think it really helps with the film and the flow.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's a very sensible comment you made there, Jay. Very good. And they go to the hotel, the Great Gulch Hotel, because it's literally what Eve was saying. So they know where they're going to go and where the deal's going to be made. And again, it's fully booked up because there's like a medical conference there. And there's a doctor from Sweden and Germany who haven't arrived yet. So they've got the genius idea of taking on the disguise of the doctors. And it just happens that Richard Pryor's doctor is a gynecologist who specializes in like fannies and stuff like that. And it's so funny. It really, really is.
It's brilliant.
The stupid accents they do. And this, it's just brilliant. It's so harmless. You know what I mean? I love this film. I think it's so, so good. I'm so fond of it. Yeah. But
it's just when he's chatting her up. Go on. Sorry.
No, no, I just want to say very quickly that when Gene Wilder is getting his room card, and she said, the girl in reception said, "Oh, we've got a couple of queens in there for you, right?" And he went, "Oh," he said, "get them out of there. We're going to be busy."
Now, we're all out of double rooms, but I saved you a suite with two queens.
Well, get them fellas out of there. We want to get some sleep. Right, Doctor? Oops, about them.
Close to the mark, isn't it?
It's throwaway comment, but it's just really funny.
Yeah, back then, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I love the fact that obviously Richard Pryor's character is really trying to chat up the receptionist. Yeah. He's just not even looking at her. So Gene Wilder just keeps turning his head. it's just little things like that. It's fantastic to me.
It is the sheer stupidity of it that makes this just so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so they cause a diversion. So the sister has an accident in the car park, which obviously pulls Kevin Spacey away. And then Gene Wilder decides to break into the room to steal the coin because he's already seen from the binoculars that the coin's in the room, which leads to a scene which is very good in many ways because you get to see Joan Severance in the shower, who's absolutely stunning. And he's panicking. He's trying to give her the bag. He's holding the bag up for her. Goes into the main bedroom and gets this coin. And whilst he's there, obviously he can't hear her creeping up and coming out of the shower. And for some reason, she sees him put his hand in his pocket and pretends it's a gun and she believes it. But it's when he takes his hand out of the pocket and he's clearly got an erection because she was
still there.
Oh, it's brilliant.
He says it later, doesn't he? He goes, I held up a woman with my penis today or something like that. At gunpoint with my penis. It's just fucking genius.
And they would show this on Sunday afternoon on ITV.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They do cut a lot of it out. Shout bit, they
cut out. I must have done,
The thing I love about that the most as well, though, is the fact that the two of them have gone in to break into the room and they've left the blind guy out as the lookout. And he says, you know, let me know if anyone comes. Yeah. How is he going to know?
And he gets hoisted off by the rest of the team saying he's a real... and he's trying to like give his excuses. Then, oh, you're a real card, you're a real laugh. But they actually managed to get him into the conference and he's sat at that table.
He's going to be the main speaker, isn't he?
Yeah, and they talk about sex in people who are older and what they can do to keep fit and kind of stimulate themselves.
Which exercise would you find most beneficial to geriatric sexuality?
Oh boy. Well, some of my patients prefer walking.
Some prefer bicycling, but for your best results, to guarantee satisfaction, most of them like fucking. You know, punta, punta, punta.
Most like fucking.
Yes. Everyone's nodding before that, aren't they? Everyone's like, yeah.
Multiple orgasms for older people. Yes. And he goes, most like fucking.
That's brilliant.
But then you get, he kind of, obviously, he talks himself into a huge amount of trouble. And then Gene Wilder comes in pretending he's a doctor and that he kind of Dr. Johnson or Johansson that he is. Mm. And he says, how many fingers am I holding up? There's three. And he goes, good. And he's got none.
It's good considering he's blind.
It's nonsense, isn't it? And yeah. In a way, it's not even humour because it's just stupid, but it's because it's just so ridiculous that it really works. And how they managed to come up with an idea of breaking in, because they said that they're in this massive, is it a house of 1,000 windows, I think,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's where they're going to be. And they decide to kind of have a plan of breaking into this house, even though it's got those two, I can never get those, what those dogs are.
They're Doberman.
Yes, that's it, those Dobermans. And it's just such a fucking cocked up plan, because his sister's been taken hostage already, because they realised that she was in on it. And that, but they managed to break in, they managed to get in this house and rescue the sister. And it's just utter nonsense. But before that, when they're looking over the fence,
oh, mate,
you've got Wilder standing on top of the car. And again, you're meant to have Pryor on lookout or helping him. And he just rolls down the hill standing on top of the car. It's genius.
Yeah.
It's like a carry-on film, isn't it? It really is like a carry-on film.
When they break into it, like Gene Wilder's in there, it's like, right, I'm here, kind of thing. She's like, the alarm's going. She can't say anything. She's got like a thing in her mouth. Like she's got a mouth all tied up. But he's set off all the alarms breaking into the conservatory where she is.
Yeah,
he's got no idea. But he's like, I'm the hero. I've saved you. Like, ring, ding. And then they all appear, don't they? They all appear.
Brilliant.
It's the fact that he walks in and puts his finger to his mouth, like, shh.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, Jay, we were talking before we did this. I think it was before you actually joined us on the podcast that Silver Streak and the first film we did together and Stir Crazy. Have you seen both of those films?
No, I haven't actually. No, this is the first one I've seen, and I've not seen either of them. Sorry. Have you?
Okay. I've seen all of them. I just wondered, we were talking about which one you thought was like the funniest, which worked well. I mean, it's going to be, I don't know. Silver Streak is a very, very good one. But it's not kind of more centered around them. But Stir Crazy is a brilliant film. And I think you said earlier, Paul, it's, I mean, I bought it on Amazon, but I think you said it's on Netflix, didn't you?
Yeah, Stir Crazy's back on Netflix at the same time as this. Actually, just as we're talking, I'm just going to buy on Apple, on iTunes, a Silver Streak, which is from 1980. I didn't realise it was their first film.
Yeah, it's really good.
But yeah, I'm buying it. I'm going to watch it tomorrow because I love these two, and I don't think I've ever seen it. And yeah, this was the last of the three, wasn't it, they did together?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But, I mean, you've got you've got Gene Wilder, who plays, obviously, without him, but a very similar character who's very silly, in Blazing Saddles as well. Mm. And again, that's a very controversial film, but he is so good in that. Again, that stupid humour from Gene Wilder. And he just does it so well with a straight face. And it's, as you say, it's probably done in that way because it was many, many takes. But it's just so, so funny. I honestly don't know how these guys do it. I really don't. But that leads them to the Kingpin, who we said earlier was blind. Which is strange because I thought that Kevin Spacey, and I don't know what films he was doing around then or how big he was around then. I must admit, I didn't kind of do my research on that. But I was really surprised that when he asks for more money, but when he realizes how expensive that gold, or it's not gold coin, it's a special Yeah, it's a conductor that he wants more money. And I was really surprised that he got shot. I don't know what you guys thought.
I think I saw it coming.
Yeah, when he turned the light off and stuff, I suppose that was the whole thing, though, wasn't it? And it's just to show that he had his super hearing, if you like, because the fact that your other senses heighten, don't they, if you lose one. But it was odd, but I suppose it's that whole villain thing, though, isn't it, that he wasn't going to give him any more money.
Yeah.
I think, if I understand rightly what you're saying, like what was going to happen, I think... For Kevin Spacey, regarding how big he was at the time in 89, there was only one or two things that's really going to happen to a villain in the film, and that was either getting nicked or getting shot.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. I mean, what did you think, Jay? Were you surprised or not really?
I was, but then I think I watched it when this first came out on rental when I was really quite young.
Right.
So whether I should have watched it or not is debatable, but yeah. No, 'cause I remember my dad used to... any of you guys remember The Video Man? He came around like in a van.
Yeah, we had that.
Oh, jeez, yes. Yeah, do you remember them? Came around in a van and we got this one. I think my mum told my dad about it. I watched it and I was really surprised. But then again, I was maybe just about double figures, if that. Wow,
Video Van. Man, that's
the video, man.
Yeah, we used to have that. So good. I think it was like every Thursday he used to come around in a van and it's just so trusting, so different, wasn't it?
I know. I had my first experience of like Willow. And like Labyrinth and things like that. I
wonder what you were going to say then.
Yeah,
because
in the back of the video van. Yeah, no wonder you had a good relationship with the video man.
God,
you know,
free video.
you know the guy in Willow. What's his name? I've seen him in London recently.
Which one?
Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis?
Warwick Davis, yeah. I was working many, many years ago, like back in the early 90s. I was working in a pizza place, a well-known pizza brand in Wiltshire. And he was performing a show in the local theatre. And my dad came to pick me up after work. And Warwick Davis popped in the back of the car. And my dad was like, who the fuck are you? He went... Oh, can you take me to so-and-so hotel? Because he was staying. My dad was like, no.
Really?
I've come to pick my son up. So he was trying to hitch a lift. He thought my dad was a taxi driver.
That's amazing.
He comes to pick me up after work. You got Willow and Warwick Davis sat in the back asking for a ride. Like,
wow.
Get out of my car.
That's really what, cool, actually,
that
isn't it?
That is mental. That's cool. Brilliant.
That is so good. That's like that. Life's too short. That is brilliant, isn't it?
I love that series. He's so good, especially the washing machine scene where he kicks the washing machine down the bank, not realizing that's the one that he just had installed, thinking it's the one that was taken out. Oh,
brilliant! Have you seen that, Neil Jay?
No, I haven't.
Oh, watch it. It's fab.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, who kind of obviously do extras and everything else. They did it's like a documentary following the career of Warwick Davis. And he's got an agency for other like dwarfs and midgets and things like that. And it's just you feel sorry for him, but he's so egotistical and he gets himself in. It's very situational comedy again. Yeah. And he believes his own hype, and he's obviously a no one now compared to what he was, but he's in denial, and his whole career he's in denial. And
he takes all the good jobs, doesn't he? If a job comes up for a dwarf, he takes the best jobs, and they're really upset. And there's loads of faces in that as well. They've got Right Said Fred in it. They've got
Liam Neeson's
in it, yeah. Oh, they're just some great names. Honestly, you watch it, it's fab.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, back to the film, you've got Kevin Spacey, who's just been shot. And interestingly enough, when you've got both, and Richard Pryor, I'll say witnesses that, but Richard Pryor knows what's going on, then he realises that the guy's blind. But then Eve comes in, and Eve's with Gene Wilder, and she's trying to negotiate on the deal. But I thought that she was going to get shot. And I didn't know how it was going to work out, because it would have ended up with, obviously, a blind person, a deaf person, and another blind person. But But she actually shoots the chief kind of baddie, and I was really surprised about that. I didn't expect that. I thought they were going to run away together.
Mm, I did.
Yeah.
It was surprising. I just thought that I don't know. I mean, I don't know who this person is who played like the main baddie. I've seen him in a few things, but nothing that he's kind of another person who he's that guy, and you just really think of what he's been in.
I've only seen him once, in fact, last week in Columbo. He was in the Columbo episode. I love Columbo. He was in
Well,
I do. I love Columbo. But he was he was in an episode of that.
What was his name in this?
Oh, I can't remember.
Sutherland, was it?
I think his name was Sutherland in this, yeah. And he was I suppose Anthony he didn't really play a main part in a way, did he? He was the head kind of baddie, but...
Yeah,
it didn't really do anything, and I don't know. I'm surprised it's only fitting that she shoots him, but he doesn't really put up much of a fight, and he does go flying out the window. It's a brilliant dummy they throw out the window.
Yeah, definitely a dummy.
And it leads to she's going to escape, and they know where she's going to go. She's running down to the bottom to get in a helicopter to escape, and she's got that conductor on her, and these two. Go outside and they can see she's down the bottom of a hill. Conveniently, there's a massive cable going from the top of the house all the way down to where the helicopter's waiting.
Yeah.
And they do like a zip wire, both of them. And when you look at it, they really look like they're shitting themselves, don't they?
There's a lot of audio where they're talking or shouting and stuff. Where you can hear them talking, but when you look at the long shot, there's nothing coming from them. Continuity issues. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing you can't act out is absolute terror. And I would be bloody terrified if I went down this zip wire, honestly.
Using a leather jacket.
Yeah. Not the first zip wire we've had. Obviously, when we did Rush Hour as well, they did the famous zip wire in Rush Hour.
They did.
Yeah. Which one's best, this zip wire or the Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker one?
That was what Rush Hour was that in though? That wasn't in the first one, was it?
No, that was in Rush Hour 2. That was, wasn't it? Yeah,
I prefer Rush Hour this 2. One because this one's in a.
This one's film. This one's a good film. Yeah.
Oh, Rush Hour 2 not a good film, James?
No, but I think I'd quite happily put a lot more money on this one being better amongst all of us.
I agree with you. I think this is a much better one. I think this is a really good. And it's so convenient that she tends to run when she goes round in the same similar line as the zip wires going down. Thank God for that. And the fact that there is a pile of leaves and mud as well that someone has actually put up there. And they do land on her. And the helicopter pilot is fighting with Gene Wilder. And Richard Pryor... He's kind of fighting with Eve, but he's mostly sexually assaulting her, isn't he?
Yeah. Touching her tits, isn't he? Fucking legend.
Honey, she's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? She's like, I don't know, I'm blind. I learned this in the Braille Institute.
Yeah. It's all to explore.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Again, because... He manages to grab the knife. This is so brilliant. And I watched this yesterday and today, and I was pissing myself laughing. But the police turn up, and the helicopter pilot, he's got the knife, and he's in a kind of position where he's going to throw the knife at the helicopter pilot. He's saying, stop where you are. And he's basically like, piss off. I'm not going to do that. The police turn up. All the sirens are there. And you've got one of the police officers on a megaphone telling the guy to stop. And it's brilliant that he's given the same commands as Gene Wilder. And Gene Wilder thinks he's being listened to and his authority is being respected.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that the police are there telling him. And it's brilliant. It is
or being
so
with
funny.
A delay. There's that delay, isn't it, that adds to that comedy.
Yeah.
He gives a command. Nothing happens. The police give the command. Something happens. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's like Gene Wilder's finest moment, isn't it? The pride on his face when he believes that this henchman is doing as he asks, and then the police are all there, and it's great. Yeah, it's so good. And the two police officers are probably the most relieved people out of everyone that they've not only got the baddies, that they've kind of, they don't have to buy cakes and they can prove that the other two guys, Gene Wilder and Pryor, aren't the actual murderers. And after that, it goes back to both of them on the bench from where it started, near enough. And they're in a completely different place, aren't they? Which is lovely.
Mm. It is. What did you think of the police guy, Captain, really wanted to shoot them? That was a bit weird.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. I thought he looked like he was a little bit unhinged. Like he wasn't far off retirement. He had 28 years on the force. And he was probably, it was almost as if he'd had enough and he was just like, he needed a bit of help.
You using 28 years on the force as a reason.
Yeah.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Some might.
Yeah, it's really, really nice ending where they sit on the bench and again, as I say, they're kind of in a much better place and they're chatting about where they are now. And they both stick ice creams on top of their heads and they just sit there. They're comfortable with their disabilities.
Yeah.
And that they're kind of accepted in a, well, in this community, in society, which they should be. And it's a really, really nice way. And it's such a shame that this is the last film that they did together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is sad because they work so well together, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just brilliant. And I could watch this again and again. I could watch this probably every week and I wouldn't honestly get bored of it. I really, really wouldn't.
Same as Stir Crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Time and time again. It's on Netflix now.
No. I really do need to watch it because I love that. I can remember little bits of it because it's so long ago.
Yeah.
But I just remember that I really enjoyed it, so I need to watch that again.
Yeah. Again, it's quotable. This is a quotable. Stir Crazy is really quotable. I mean, we'll go to you, James. I mean, what are your best bits, worst bits? Would you recommend it? How would you score this?
Yeah, I recommend it. I think it was one of my, once again, this is a film I used to love watching with my dad. It was one of our favourite films to watch together. And as you said, it's one of those films you can watch, you know, a couple of times a year and you'll still enjoy it almost, you know, pretty much as that first time. It's despite some of the, what you could consider to be controversial jokes, the majority of jokes are pretty much timeless. And I think most of the film is timeless. For me, it's weird, isn't it, giving a comedy 5 out of 5? I don't know if we've done this before, but I've done it, but yeah, 5 out of 5, brilliant, epic performance from both Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Fantastic. And I'm so glad that we've reviewed this film. I was a bust in the gut to get back on time just to have something to say about the film, so I'm glad I did. And I love it. It's one of my, easily in my top 10 comedies. Easily. There you go, guys.
No, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I'll go next if you want. I agree with James. I echo what James said. Everything. Watched it with my dad, and it was something that brings back memories of doing that, which is something I hold very kind of dear to my heart. And it's just a brilliant, for me, it's a harmless, silly comedy, just like all of their other ones they did together. And I know some of it may be controversial to some people, but if you watch this as a normal person who enjoys comedies, it's brilliant. It's not taking a piss out of anyone's disability. It's brilliant, brilliant comedy timing. And these two have got such good chemistry that you feed off that as well. And I think it's so natural. And I'd give it a 5 and I recommend it. And it's just, yeah, whatever. What James said, I completely agree. It's a great, great film. I can't believe it took us so long, considering we started doing this in 2014, to do this film, to get round to it. But I'm so pleased I have.
No, definitely. I have to shadow most of that, to be honest. I'm surprised it got such a low score on IMDb. It only got 6.9.
Really? 10,
which I'm quite surprised at, because it is a classic. I couldn't recommend this enough. If you want to watch a proper comedy, which is slapstick, is taking the mickey out of itself, you know, but it's around two really serious
things that people have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. All right, not everyone that's blind or deaf get arrested for gold coins and all that sort of stuff. But you know what I mean? And it's, and the way it's done is fantastic. And the way they act as those people with those disabilities, even though they don't have them themselves, is just goes to show how good they were as actors. And they were able to do it. And it's just, it's timeless to me. And anyone that finds it offensive needs some fucking look at, in the mirror, to be honest. And sort of, because it's bollocks. It's supposed to be funny. They're not horrible about anyone with any disabilities. They just are using them to have a laugh with, if you like. But yeah, I'd recommend it to anyone. I'll give it 5 out of 5. I think there aren't really any worse bits. I think the only funny, questionable bit is probably Kevin Spacey's accent, because it's just fucking weird. the best bits are probably the bit where she's trying to take their photographs in the police station, and when Richard Pryor's trying to get the job, because those two are the best bits. Just the situational part of it, when she says to him, tell him to stay still, and the fact that he has to read his lips to be able to tell him that, he keeps moving his head. I was bent over with laughter. It was so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Paul?
I can't really add much to that. I think I echo what everyone else has said. It's just, it's class. 5 out of 5, definitely. That's a solid 5. Best bits. Oh God, yeah. When Richard Pryor is trying to guide the blind guy across the, because he doesn't want to admit to his disability, does he? So he tries to help a blind guy across the road. Yes. they end up on a,
yes.
They end up on a back of a lorry.
Yeah.
On a lift. And they walk into the back of a truck.
Yeah. Because he turns around, doesn't he, and shouts to his sister, how am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah. But I just, yeah, best bits, it's all good. Like, literally, like, the first, when Richard Pryor starts getting aggressive and trying to start a fight with Gene Wilder, to the end, I was laughing. And like you, Neil, I was just bent over, laughing out loud, you know. Worst bits, I know I commented on the wigs that they chose for Gene Wilder, and you mentioned about the accent and stuff, but I can't fault it. It's just, I love it. I love it. Yeah,
I completely agree. I've awesome.
I've looked at that Anthony Zerbe guy that played the villain. Mm. He was in The Matrix.
Was he?
Was he?
Yeah, and that's where I recognised him. I was trying to piece it together, and he's one of the councilmen in the main place.
He's the one that has the talk with Neo about the machines when they go underneath the thing, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, of course.
Then I've just looked him up and I was like, fucking hell, of course that's who he is.
That'll be the Matrix Revolutions, not Resident Evil. Matrix, it's the second two. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was in Columbo when the episode when Columbo goes to Guillotine.
Yes,
he was
in fucking Columbo.
Yeah, don't forget.
There's nothing wrong with Columbo, guys.
Exactly.
Is he in Columbo?
He was, yeah.
Do you think now? Each podcast we do needs like a 7 degrees of Columbo. We have to have a link to Columbo.
Yeah, I think we should do.
Yeah. I've got the box set, and no. I also record them on. I know the next scene that's coming on, right? I know him like the back of my hand.
What, Columbo?
Columbo, yeah. Every single episode, I know them inside out.
If like, you and I were the harvester and we're on a date, my seat would be so wet right now. You know? I mean, I'll be ready for you with that information. Mate, you had me at Columbo box set. So.
You own the box set and still record them. I mean, the same fucking thing you want.
No. So that's crazy. It's like someone that had the Star Wars collection but wait for them to come on ITV at Christmas to watch them for the adverts.
Because Paul feels smug. I've missed the first 10 minutes.
I love it.
Yeah. It's that smugness of fast forwarding the adverts for you, Paul. That's what it is, mate. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I'm addicted to it. I've always have been ever since I was a kid. Columbo, it's my thing. Just love it. Peter Falk, he's the man.
Yeah.
I know. He was in The Princess Bride, one of my favourite films. So
he was, in that, yeah.
Yeah. He was indeed.
That was
a great film.
He was. I didn't realise he was in that.
Yeah.
God, but so next week, we're going back 2 years.
Yes.
Where we're going to go in 1987, A Secret of My Success, starring Michael J. Fox. I really watched
his career.
Brilliant. It's going to be another goodie next week. It'll be really, really good. This film, again, I think is on, it's either on iTunes or it's either on Netflix or it's on Amazon.
I've never seen this. I've never seen it, believe me.
Oh, have you not?
I've seen it
100 times. I love it.
What about yourself, Neil?
No, never seen it.
Oh, it's going to be a goodie.
Peak of his career.
Goodie. Oh, we've got two old pros against two virgins of The Secret of My Success. It could go either two ways. But, yeah, so we've got that.
I look forward to having my virginity taken by,
by
you all.
So take it on Planet Pod next week. So, yeah, tune into that, guys. It's going to be really good. Again, subscribe on iTunes, on Spotify. We're on everything. We're on Instagram, Facebook. I'm now putting out kind of little samples of the show so you get a taster of just how shit it is and how much bollocks we actually talk to save you actually subscribing.
I was going to listen to them, but I won't now.
But yeah, we've got the YouTube channel as well, which again is full of us talking as if we know what we're talking about when we talk mostly shit. So, and if you want to subscribe to that, it will be amazing, as it would be a wonderful thing. But so we're going to be back next week. James, are we going to have the pleasure of your company next week?
Yes. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good for next week. The week after, I'm on late. So I'm looking forward to this. I've got it on my next to watch. On it's on Prime, by the way, Amazon.
Oh, it's going to be great. We're going to find out live on the pod what you think about this, and Neil as well. It should be a good one. So tune in next week. Take care, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Film Reel Cast. We'll be back next week.